future comes.
The Star Worlds with Captain Star, ace adventurer of space, thrilling transcribed adventures in outer space and strange and far-off worlds where mystery, intrigue, and danger ride on every space fleet mission with
Star of Space! Hey, 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 hey.
Nova City Space Station calling Captain Star. Nova City Space Station calling Captain Star. Report for a special space mission.
Ranger Star reporting, Commodore Bradford.
You're blasting for Mars rock immediately. The Earth people in Polar City are fear-stricken and are threatening to leave. Over 15 of their leading citizens have disappeared in the last few weeks without any explanation.
What's my assignment, sir?
Investigate the mysterious disappearance. Find out who or what is behind them. Stop them.
Shooting Star to Spaceport, Nova City, Earth.
Spaceport, Nova City. Go ahead, Shooting Star.
Blasting on priority assignment, SR-1, destination, Polar City, Mars.
Ranger Star, commanding.
Dale Archer.
That's on Anderson, crew.
Stand by.
Okay, Rock, she's all yours.
Mile building up. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Really?
Received word from Nova City Earth that Ranger Star of the Space Rangers will arrive here tomorrow to help us.
What are we doing in the meantime? Captain Stedman, wait for someone to kill us?
The local authorities are doing all they can.
And I'm for selling out and leaving this part of Mars.
If you all calm down for one moment, please, let's at least give this Ranger our support. If he can't find out anything, then I'll be the first to lead you out of Polar City.
Captain Stedman!
Tommy, what is it?
My uncle! Uncle Bob!
What's happened?
Uncle Bob is gone!
Shooting Star to Polar City Mars Spaceport. We're in an established orbit waiting for assignment of landing birds.
Robert Jane's disappearance brought the total of missing persons up to 16 among the Earth colony. And they've all disappeared without any logical explanation.
I see.
But how can people disappear in thin air, Captain Stedman?
I wish I could answer that, Flap.
I understand that Tommy was with his uncle when he disappeared.
According to Tommy, yes.
Is there any reason to doubt him?
You know how young children are. They have vivid imaginations.
Yes. But Tommy was very broken up over his uncle's disappearance, wasn't he?
I can understand why. Tommy's parents were killed by the Martians when the Earth people settled here. His uncle adopted him. Have you seen Tommy yet?
No. Gail Archer, medical supervisor, member of our crew, is with him right now. We thought she could break the tension better.
All I can suggest is that you listen to his story and draw your own conclusions.
Oh, we intend to.
Fantastic as it may sound, it could be true, I suppose.
Most of the Earthmen here are farmers, aren't they?
Yes. Polar City, as you know, is noted for its excellent farming area. This section being close to the polar cap makes it a perfect climate, not to mention the fact it provides us with the best land on the planet.
Then it would be possible that the belt around the polar area could eventually make Earthmen on Mars self-sustaining, as far as the food supply goes.
Well, yes, eventually, but I don't see...
What do you mean, Rock?
Well, whoever controlled the food supply on Mars could control the people. Is that correct, Captain Stedman?
We never thought of it, but yes, I guess you're right.
Then someone or something is trying to scare the Earth people away from Polar City so they can take over the land.
That's ridiculous.
No, a hungry man will do anything for food, for his body, soul, or mind, Captain Stedman. Even kill.
More medicine, is it, Mr. Archer?
No, this is something you'll really like, Tommy, here.
Go ahead. I promise you'll like it.
What is it?
Well, a special drink that all boys and girls like on Earth. It's a vitamin malt. Go ahead.
Mmm, it is good. Thanks a lot.
I'm glad you like it.
Tell me something about Ranger Star.
Oh, you like him. He's a space ranger, and, well, he's big and handsome and has a cute smile and a twinkle in his eyes.
You like Rocky, don't you?
Now, listen, young man, you're getting very personal.
But you do like him, don't you?
Well, certainly. I've been a member of his crew since the Space Fleet days.
No, I mean, you really like him.
Well, I... That is, He is very nice, but, Alice, I think that you said that...
How's the patient, Kim?
Oh, he's just fine, Rocky. Boy, am I glad to see you.
Oh?
I was just asking if you might...
Tommy wanted to know when you were going to get here. Tommy, this is Ranger Starr.
Rocky to you, Tommy.
Hi, Rocky.
Tommy's been asking a lot of questions.
Well, that's the only way you'll ever learn, Tommy. Ask questions. And that's why I want to ask you some questions. I want to learn something.
All right, sir.
Well, the day that you were out with your Uncle Bob, tell me what happened.
We went out to look over the land. Uncle Bob did that about once every 6 Earth months. Well, we were skipping some rocks along the water in the stream, and all of a sudden Uncle Bob stopped and started walking away.
Mm-hmm. What did you do?
I followed him and kept asking him where he was going, but he wouldn't tell me.
Well, what did he do?
He hit me and knocked me down. I was so scared I ran back into town.
Uncle Bob was nice to you, wasn't he, Tommy?
Always.
Well, then, don't blame him for what happened. He probably wasn't himself.
Sounds like he was under some sort of hypnotic spell.
But where'd he go? Why'd he leave me?
That's what we're trying to find out, Tommy.
Oh, Rock, Stedman wants you on the visiways.
Well, I'll be right back, Tommy.
I'll go with you.
What is it, Flash?
Well, Stedman wouldn't tell me. He just said it was urgent.
What kind of a boy does Tommy strike you as being, Gail?
Oh, a very normal boy, Rocky. Why?
I just wondered. That was my impression, too.
Did Tommy help any?
Some. A mental control is being exerted over the missing person. Exactly what, I don't know.
Here's a visaway.
Ranger Starr.
Stepan here, Ranger Starr. Better get over to my place at once. Avon Brickner, one of the missing persons, just walked into my office.
No, he walked in as if he'd never been missing. I asked him where he'd been. He just laughed.
Did he say anything else?
Claimed he's been up in the hills looking over his land and that there was no need for alarm. He got up to leave and then just passed out on the floor.
I sent Gail over to the hospital to talk to the doctor. Claps is out at Brickner's home, standing guard.
Why do you need a guard? Excuse me.
Yes, Captain.
Captain Stedman.
This is Gail Archer. Tell Rocky that I've talked to Dr. Carson, that I'll meet him at the Brickner's home.
And just to look at him, Rocky, I'd say that he'd battled something both mentally and physically.
Yeah, the hollows in his face are deep, but that could be from lack of food.
Well, the doctor checked him over, but couldn't find anything physically wrong. A case of shock is all he could call it.
Did he find anything unusual on his person?
Yes, here. In the palm of Brickner's hand.
Looks like a burn.
Well, that's what we thought at first, but it's more like a mark, a birthmark, a discoloration of the skin.
That's odd. Burn looks like a diamond. It's almost a perfect shape.
Well, what do you think it is?
I don't know. Did you check with his wife to see if it could have been a birthmark?
Mrs. Brickner was sent to bed by Dr. Carson. She was in a very nervous state.
Well, nothing we can do here. Come on.
Find anything?
Maybe. I'm staying here with you, Claps, to stand guard. Gail will go back to Tommy's place.
Do you expect something to happen here, Rocky?
Avon Brickner's return seems more than just a coincidence. He disappeared once. It could happen again.
What do you expect to find in a clothes closet?
Clothes?
Oh, I know that. I know that. But why can't you look for them in the daytime instead of night?
Here we are.
Huh? Well, they look like they've been in a cosmic storm.
Brickner was wearing them when he walked into Stedman's office today.
Oh. What?
Jacket and trousers are stiff. Seems like they've been in some sort of liquid.
Water?
Well, it hasn't rained here in over a nice week, and his boots are watermarked.
Well, what about the stream that Tommy told you about?
Well, it doesn't seem to be.
Hey, Rock. Somebody's at the window.
Get your flash beam out. When I signal, turn it on.
What is it?
Shh, quiet, Flash. Hey, look. It's walking over to Brickner's bed.
It looks like it's going to...
Turn on your flash beam. Quick.
Yeah, we
get... Don't blast, Flash.
Oh, but he's getting away.
We don't want to kill intelligent life unless we have to.
But what was it?
Well, it looked like a small-sized version of a Martian. We won't say anything about this, Flash.
I'd just soon forget about it. Just hope we don't meet up with another one.
We'll probably meet up with quite a few of them before this assignment is over.
Going into that country is dangerous, Ranger Starr.
Somewhere in the hills, there must be an answer to the mysterious disappearance of the Earthians here in the Polar City.
If you've made up your mind, I guess I'll go with you.
Oh, this is something that Flaps and myself will handle alone.
Very well, if that's the way you want it.
Well, Tommy, glad to see you up and around.
He insisted on coming down to see you.
Mr. Rocky said that you were going to look for my uncle.
That's right, Tommy.
I want to go, Rocky. Please let me.
Well, I'd like to, but... Well, it might be dangerous. No, that isn't exactly the kind of a job for a young man like yourself to be doing.
But maybe I can help find Uncle Bob and the other missing people.
Oh, I'll bet you could. But you'll have to let Flaps and me go on this trip alone.
They won't let me go, Tommy.
Yeah, that's right.
If I were a space ranger, I'd let me go along.
I'll tell you what, Tommy. When you do grow up, I'll help you become a space ranger.
You mean it, Rock? Honest?
Honest. But to be a good space ranger, Well, you have to make good marks in school and pass all your tests.
Then we'd better run along, young man, and study.
All right. But if you need any help, Rocky, you can count on me.
Oh, I know we can.
Be careful, Rocky.
Oh, if anything should happen and you need us, use your communicator. Flaps and I will have ours.
I will. Come on, Tommy.
Goodbye, Rocky. Flaps.
Goodbye, Tommy.
Your equipment's loaded on the sand sled. You'll be able to use the sled until you reach the foot of the hills. Then you'll have to walk.
Thanks, Captain Stedman.
You sure you won't change your mind about me coming along with you?
You'll be more help here, keeping the Earthians happy. That's a big job in itself.
Very well. Good luck to both of you.
Flaps and I rode the sand sled as far as we could into the hills, then strapped the gear on our backs and started walking. It was wild country, just as Stedman said it was, and the going through the tangled undergrowth was slow. By night, we were only halfway up the hill, so we camped by a small stream. Having been faced with eating Flaps' cooking before, I came prepared. I brought along some highly concentrated food tablets, and while he was insulted, my stomach was very happy. Before bedding down, we lit a small campfire to keep away curious Martian desert cats, and then turned in for a night's rest. Flaps. Flaps, wake up! Flaps!
What's going on?
We have a visitor. Over in the bushes.
Huh?
Get your blaster. Go around one side, I'll go around the other. Now be careful.
Come on out or I'll blast. I'll count up to three, then start blasting. One, two.
Don't blast, Rocky. It's me.
Hold it, Flaps. Hold it.
I know I broke my promise, Rocky, but I just had to come along.
But how did you get here?
I hid in the back of your sand sled.
Well, why didn't we see you?
When you stopped, I climbed out and then followed the one behind.
Jumping Jupiter. Tommy.
Hello, Ranger Flap.
Hi, kid.
Do I have to go back, Rocky?
Well, you can't go back tonight.
Oh.
We'll contact Gale on the communicator the first thing in the morning, and then we'll see if you can stay or not. And right now, say your prayers and get some sleep.
Sorry to bother you this late at night, but I have some information that must get to Rock as soon as possible.
Well, Rocky and Flaps are gone, Commodore, but I'll get a message to them. What is it?
Space Investigation Department just gave us a report on Captain Stedman.
What about Stedman?
He's really a space criminal, known as Lance Whitman. Used to be a scientist, but was discharged from the scientific labs here in Nova City because of...
Commodore Bradford!
You'll find that your communicator doesn't work, Miss Archer.
Captain Stedman.
Yes. I came over to report that Tommy is missing.
Tommy missing?
I thought perhaps you might know where he was.
Why, no, I've
been outside for some time. I heard your conversation with Commodore Bradford.
Oh, what are you going to do?
I have no choice now.
How do you feel after a good breakfast, Tommy?
Fine, Rocky.
Yeah. Nothing like a good breakfast to give you a good start in the day. You remember that.
I will.
I don't understand it, Rock.
Understand what, Flaps?
Well, my communicator doesn't work. Tried everything.
Well, then use mine.
I did. It doesn't work either.
Well, they were both checked before we left Stedman.
Yeah, well, whoever checked them to be sure they wouldn't work.
Flaps took one of the communicators apart and found a microtube missing. Now we were out of communication with Gale and had no way of knowing what was going on in Polar City.
Get the gear together, Flaps. We're going back to Polar City now.
Right.
Rocky, help!
I spun around fast in the direction of Tommy's frantic voice and started running to help him. Down by the edge of the stream, I saw one of the funny Martian men Platt and I have seen before. He had Tommy in his arms. I grabbed him and spun him around. He might have been small, but he was fast and strong. I was on the ground now with the Martian on top of me. His hands were around my throat, and I was struggling to break his grip.
Hey, what in the universe happened?
He grabbed Tommy and was running away.
So that's the same kind of creature we saw at Bridger's house.
Yeah, I told you. We'd be seeing a lot more.
Well, where's Tommy?
He was just here a few seconds ago.
He's not here now.
Tommy! Tommy!
There he is, Rock. Look, he's walking down the middle of the stream.
Tommy! Just a minute!
Great day in the universe. Look at him. He's way out of this world.
Don't touch him, Platt.
Well, shouldn't we do something?
Oh, Tommy's all right, I'm sure, but in some sort of a trance.
Oh, what's he holding in his hand?
Looks like a necklace or a charm. Hey, I remember now. That native had something around his neck. I was on the ground, and suddenly I felt weak, and that's it, Platt. The necklace had a purple ornament on it. That's the piece that hypnotizes victims, and through it, a metal power controls them.
Well, what do we do about Tommy?
Follow him.
Still walking down the middle of the stream. Can't we do something to break the hypnotic spell?
I don't know what effect it might have on him. The mental force is leading him someplace. We'll have a better chance if we can find out exactly what the control is. Then, once it's broken forever.
Hey, look, Rock.
Hmm?
He's walking out of the stream now.
And toward that big jagged rock over there.
But there's nothing there.
As far as we know now. Let's move a little faster so we can catch up with him, and then we'll stay right behind him. Tommy walked closer and closer toward the rock. We moved up close behind him so that we could protect him against any danger. When he reached the rock, he stopped, and suddenly the rock separated and swung open.
Jumping Jupiter. It's opening up.
We're going to follow him in. Now, act just the way he does, in a trance. And whoever's behind the rock slab will think we're one of the captives.
Yeah, you hope.
I'm hoping real hard. Now we found ourselves in a huge cave. The rock slab swung shut. Followed Tommy down the cave that was lit with purple torches on each side. Ahead of us, there was a big open area with 20 or more of the native Martians, like the one we had fought with earlier, standing around a large open pool. Tommy walked right into their midst and stopped.
What do you make of it, Doc?
Looks like some sort of ancient sacrifice ritual.
Well, they're all just standing around the pool. Why don't they do something?
Well, maybe they...
You are now facing the pool of life, Tommy Kane. And you will soon be one of us.
Me and that big man.
Don't ask any questions about that. Just do what I say. Get your blaster ready. When I holler, stop running toward that pool and firing into it.
I don't understand.
I'll explain later. We haven't much time. Now wait here until I holler for you.
Right.
Whoever you are, don't try to stop me from taking this boy out of here. If you do, I'll blast your pool of life into eternity. I've been expecting you, Ranger Star. Welcome. You heard me. I'm taking this boy out of here. I say you won't. I don't think you will at all. Look up there.
Hey, Rock. Rock, it's here. Look. She just walked out on that ledge up there.
Now, no matter what happens, just do as I told you to.
The minute you start blasting into the pool on your side, Miss Archer will walk to the edge of the cliff and fall into it.
All right. What do you want us to do?
Up on that ledge. You'll find some diamond-shaped rocks. Listen carefully, Star. Diamond-shaped rocks. Pick one of them up and take it to Miss Archer.
Very well.
In just a few moments, Ranger Star, you will become one of us. Yes, one of us, Ranger Star, as your friends have. And my plans will become that much easier.
What?
Myself are deeply indebted to you, Ranger Star.
We sure are, Rocky. Thanks an awful lot for saving my Uncle Bob.
Remember what I told you, Tommy. Study real hard, and when you grow up, I'll see to it that you're a space ranger. That'll be repayment enough for me.
A shooting star ready to blast, Rock.
Okay, we're coming. Come on, Gail.
Goodbye, Thomas.
Mission accomplished, Rocky?
Yes, but with a very narrow escape.
You know, all I want to know is what was in that pool that I blasted so much, right?
Well, that was a form of intelligent matter that Stedman perfected. He was a brilliant scientist, but used his knowledge wrong.
Mm-hmm.
The purple ornaments shaped like diamonds were a dried portion of the liquid in the pool.
I see.
He spread them around the hilly area of Polar City, and the farmers on their check of their land would pick them up, fall under an hypnotic spell, and the intelligent matter would lead them to the cave.
Well, what did he do with the people?
Well, only a scientist could explain it, Flaps, but... Well, I'd imagine they were used in some way to feed the pool of intelligence.
Oh, I'm glad we got rid of the thing.
Well, Stedman told me that he planned to rule the universe someday through the pool of intelligence.
Well, how's that deal?
Well, first, he had to scare the farmers away.
Which he was doing a nice job of.
Yeah.
And then, through the food supply, he could control Mars.
Yeah, but what about the rest of the universe?
Well, he'd use his purple ornaments to attract certain powers to Mars, and then, through his control, it would have been an easy matter to use the powers as he wished.
Jeff, what are you tapping your head for?
I'm just checking to see if I still have all my brains.
Captain Star of the Space Fleet is based on characters created by Tom Hubbard and written for radio by Tom Hubbard and Fred Eggers. John Larch is heard as Captain Star, Jane Harlan as Gail Archer, and Tom Hubbard as Cadet Sergeant Stripe. Captain Star comes to you transcribed from Hollywood.
That's all for today, boys and girls. Be sure and join us next week for some more Saturday morning adventures. Oh, my God.